This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast.
And I had to match you.
You did. I think you actually surpassed me in the level.
Oh.
Yeah, you did great.
I just meant with the aggressiveness.
Oh, okay. Well, you did great.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Another board game edition of the MFG Cast.
Welcome.
We're going to talk about, we had,
Whoa, sorry. Settle down.
We're going to be talking, I'm so...
Touched,
yeah. I can't even handle it. No. We ended up doing our own little mini con at home. We invited some of our gaming people.
Our dearest friends.
Really? Like,
I would say.
Not only are there, they are board game friends, but they're also like really close friends.
Some of our dearest comrades.
Yes.
No, I don't know. I don't like the name or the word comrades. Yeah.
So like on our, what we usually do like a Wednesday game night, and we'll have Mike and Jason over. I think we've kind of talked about this before. And then we also have some friends that live in another state, but they live close.
Like an hour and a half.
Yeah. And one of them is your best friend and her wife. And we play with them like once a month. Because they'll either come down to our house or we'll go to their house and we'll play games. And sometimes we even meet at places. Like we've been at like gaming places or stuff like that.
We met them at their Airbnb.
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
To play games with them. We've now kind of got them hooked on certain games that we introduced them to. Actually, both groups of friends.
Yeah.
But we decided to join the groups together for a mini con at our house.
Yeah, and we call it the Karsh Bomb Con.
Sponsored by Deitch and Johnson.
Yeah, so we use everybody's names and we kind of put them together. So, like, our gaming group guys, Mike and Jason, Mike's last name is Karsh Bomb. Jason's last name is Bomb, and it's actually in Karsh Bomb's name. And then our last name is Omular, which starts with an A-U-M, and that's in the part at the end. So we kind of put that together for the Karsh Bomb Con. And then because we couldn't fit the other ladies' names into it, we said that it was sponsored by those two, the Johnson and Deitch. So it was cool to kind of, like, do that. We made signs. We also bought, like, swag bags for them and gave them away. Logan, actually, our son, played with us, too, so that was awesome. Yeah. I came up with some trivia games, and we actually gave away games, which was awesome as well.
And we had trophies.
Yeah, that's right. We bought a whole bunch of trophies, and every time someone won a game, we made the name to the game and put it on the trophy and gave them to people.
Took their pictures.
Yeah.
If I can step back for a minute. So the swag bags for our attenders, we made sure to bring back old school, a little nostalgia for those around our, I would say 80s.
Yeah.
80s, 90s.
Yeah.
Even know if 90s was it. Logan was not aware of what it was because he was born in much later times, but we had Pound Puppies, Etch-a-Sketch, Viewfinders,
My Little Ponies,
Light Brights.
I think that's all of it.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, they were awesome. And then some snacks in that bag, mm-hmm. too. So if anyone's ever thinking about doing a little con of your own, obviously you wouldn't want to do that for, like, a huge group of people,
mm-hmm.
because it could get spendy.
Yeah.
But we thought that was really fun. And then for the trivia game and things like that Kurt talked about, he came up with a bunch of different questions. We bought buzzers so that we could tell who quote unquote rang in or buzzed in, and they had things recorded on them that they could buzz in that said their name. Mm-hmm. And we'll use those down the road too, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
But the games, we tried to pick things that we thought that the group would like. All around the same prices range.
Yeah.
So it ranged from Coloretta to Zombie Dice to Tetris to Tinder Blocks to Really Loud Librarians.
And then there was that 90s and 2000s hip-hop and R&B trivia, which was ridiculous. We'll talk about that here a little bit, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, we tried to put a lot of thought into how to make this fun, special, and something for everyone.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it turned out that way. You know, like we, not only did we do that, but we also played a lot of games. At one point, we talked about, like, okay, we can play these games where everybody can play. We had 7 people total. And then eventually we could break off and do groups of 2 and then play, like, some smaller games and stuff like that, or games that didn't play that many players. But we ended up playing games that played 7 players or more the whole time.
Yeah, we never broke off.
Yeah, which was actually really fun.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we had way more games that accommodated everybody than I thought we did, and we didn't even bring them all up, but everyone was, like, super duper interested in playing together.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is cool. So you know you have a good group of people.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about some of those games that we played during our little gaming con.
Well, I'd say let's start from the very beginning.
Cool.
So we kicked off the day waiting, actually, for the girls to arrive, since they were the only ones that were traveling. So we started with it's a generic game, because it doesn't really have a name except for a racing horse game or like that.
Yeah.
It's just a wooden made game with horses that are numbered from 2 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you are using dice to roll to find out what horses are stragglers, and you move those back on the track. It's like a kind of a makeshift wooden track, and then you have chips, and you roll the dice, and if you land on any of those 4 horses that never really get past that starting line, then you have to pay based on what line they're on. And then the other ones, if you're rolling the dice, you take turns going around. And if you roll any of the other ones, then you're moving them up. And basically what you're doing is everybody has cards in their hand, and whoever has those winning horses, I'm using air quotes that no one can see, whoever has those winning horses wins the potential pot of chips. But you could have like 2-1 on a horse, or 3-1 on a horse, or you could all split the pot, things like that.
Yeah.
And so we played several rounds of that, and then the girls got here.
Yeah. And that's a fun little easy game that anybody can play, so it was fun to get to that. So then finally the girls actually got to our game night, and we decided to play
game day.
And we actually played a game that we just bought recently that we'd actually talked about getting a while ago but never got. And this game is Wavelength.
Did we play that one next?
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
What does it say on there? We actually marked down everything we played, so.
Yeah, I guess so. I think I thought we played that later on.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, that was the first game that we played, because I remember we opened it up, we took a look at it. And in this game, what is happening is it's got this gauge, and it's basically kind of like this hidden behind the scenes thing where it has point values between 1 and 5, I think, or 2 and 5 or something, or 2 and 4. I can't remember exactly the
I think there's a couple 2s, yeah, a couple 3s, and the 4 is the
middle
most.
One. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it's basically a range, and what you're doing, you're just kind of randomly moving this wheel behind the scenes, and you open up this like sliding, almost like the sliding door that kind of goes like a rainbow almost, and what you're doing is you are taking these cards, and these cards have, like, it's almost opposite words as far as I can tell. And there's some advanced cards and stuff like that. But it'll be like one card that says hot goes to the left, cold goes to the right. So what you're doing is, depending upon where that range meets, you have to pick a word or like a phrase that describes where you think that people are going to describe where that range is.
Yeah, where they're going to place that pointer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then what you do is you kind of like pick your word, you close that little rainbow door, and you show people what the words are, and you say, where the directions that they're going, and you say a certain phrase. So if I'm looking at hot and cold, then I would pick, like, okay, I will pick the sun. So, like, if you're thinking the sun, that's probably one of the hottest things. So you probably go the most towards hot than you would cold. And so people, they take this little, gauge thing where it's like a red little thing and it turns. And yet, as the team, have to decide, the person that on your team that picked that clue, you have to figure out where that goes. Meanwhile, the other team can decide if it's one side or the other.
And they can also say things to try to make the other team really contemplate or get mixed up in their decision making.
Yeah.
So, obviously, for hot and cold, no one's ever going to say coffee because it could be right.
It could be right in the center.
It could be right down the center.
Yeah.
And that would be okay.
That would be okay for
you
that.
You have yep. it right down the center. But
that's funny because that's exactly what I was thinking about before.
Yeah, I said it, and then I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But so they can say things to try to really confuse the other team to be like, I don't know. Maybe coffee is... really, according to this person, coffee is really only characterized as hot.
Yeah.
Or they only like iced coffee, so that's why they would have said the word iced.
Yeah, for sure.
Or whatever they think.
Yeah. So then as the team puts the gauge on where they think it is, you reveal where it's at, see where the range is, and depending upon where you're at, you'll get anywhere from 2 to 4 points. Then the other
team... Or nothing.
Or nothing, yeah, that's true. And then the other team would also possibly get a point if they picked which side of the card that was right. And then you play to 10 points, and then whoever gets to 10 points first wins.
And then our team kicks butt.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, that was a fun game. It's a fun game. It's
not what I expected.
It's very challenging, too, sometimes when you get those couple of words and you're like, crap, where do I put this, you know?
Well, and I remember playing it, and I said one word, and I was like... Because I think you can only say one word.
Oh.
If I remember correctly, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, but I said something and I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. And then I think you guys got, like, it almost right on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, what in the world? Maybe I was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those games where I feel like it's a cool game because... It's fun to see where people's minds are at, but also it can be kind of agonizing, too, because you could be like, obviously, I'm thinking that this is perfectly here, and then people are like, nope, we're all the way over here, that kind of thing.
Well, and I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but so you have that wheel that you turn, but the person who has to turn the wheel with the numbers and stuff for how it lines up actually turns it blindly.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not saying, I think these numbers should go to the right or to the left. They're turning it with that kind of that blinder shield on first. Then they're revealing it to themselves. Then they're thinking, what the heck word am I going to do with hot or cold? So it could be on the cold side. And then you're like, igloo?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a challenge for the person that's giving the clue, too, and to get their team to guess it, and to not go too extreme, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
And where the numbers fall.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What kind of wavelength?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're on with your team.
Exactly.
Oh, that was cheesy.
That was.
Sweet.
So the next game that we played after that, we played another horse game.
No.
Didn't we?
We played Hughes and Q's.
Oh, we played Hughes and Q's. That's right. That's right.
Yep. And this is one we've talked about.
Yes, we have.
So I don't think we probably need to talk too much about this.
I don't think so. But the one thing I wanted to bring up, which is funny, I'm kind of glad that it came after Wavelength, because I feel like Wavelength and Hughes and Q's are both in that genre of perception.
Yes.
Like, you know, with Wavelength, it's like, okay, you know, if I think that, like, going on the hot and cold thing, if I think Pavement is, like, hot but not too hot, and I want it kind of, like, more hot but not as much cold that, you know, and then other people might be, well, what about the winter? It could be really cold there, you know, where Hughes and Q's color perception is all over the spectrum.
Oh, it is.
Because it's like we played this game with Mike, who's colorblind. So some colors to him are very similar to what we see, and some of them are way different for him-ish than for us. And even it even makes me think about, like, we just went and our son's going to homecoming, so we wanted to buy him, like, something nice to go to homecoming. And we're like, he wanted something green, and we're like, okay, this is green. And then you're like, is that green? And then you put it up against something, it looks kind of gray, and then you put it up against something else, and it looks really dark green. And it's like, people's perception of color is just all over the spectrum, feels like.
Well, and what matches with what. And they made this game with the intention to make it so that those that had difficulties with colors and or being color blind were able to play this game too. So it wasn't segmenting those people from not being able to play it.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. So this was the first time we played the game with Mike or anybody that wasn't able to see colors like we do.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely interesting. And also, to tag on to everybody sees colors different, is that you could say something like, I mean, I think somebody said watermelon. Well, it could be like, are you talking about the inside of a watermelon or the outside of a watermelon?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's different things. Or, like, a pumpkin. Is it a light pumpkin? Is it a dark pumpkin? Or, you know, things like that. So, it's all about interpretation. And then they give another clue or another two clues. And then that typically will help you to try to determine whether you're on point or not.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely an interesting game. We had fun. I feel like it went really fast.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think we were all nailing it.
Yeah, I feel like we were too. Yeah, that game is always fun. I always recommend that game because I feel like that's a game you can play with anybody.
And you can pretty much pick up that game from anywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we were at Barnes & Noble's. Is it Noble's?
It's Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble.
There's a bunch of Nobles.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble this weekend, and I saw it there. It's at Target, usually. I think that's where we originally got it from.
Yep.
You can get it from anywhere.
Yeah, that's a great
game. Your local game store.
Yeah, for sure. So another game that we played that I mentioned wrong that we played was Longshot the Dice Game. Is this something we just talked about? I feel like we just talked about this game as well.
I feel like we did.
Yeah. So we'll just kind of do a short thing about this too. So basically another horse racing game with dice. You're rolling an 8-sided die that has the horse number. You have a 6-sided die that has numbers 1 through 3. You roll those, the horses move. You also have secondary movement where depending upon which horse move, there's some secondary horses that could move on the cards and stuff like that. You put bets on the horses. You can also do, you can buy horses. You can buy jerseys. So you can mark off extra horses on the horse cards to make them move secondary. You can also buy helmets that where you can bet on horses even if they're not in the horse betting line. And then basically you are just trying to see how many points you can get at the end. That, again, that's not everything as far as this game goes, but...
But as far as we can remember, we already talked about it anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
So if you want to know more, buy the game.
Yes.
Just kidding. Oh. Or, well, because that can be... We saw that at Barnes & Noble, too.
Uh-huh.
Or Barnes & Noble's.
Yeah. But that game is, like, super fun, and I really dig that one. And I like that it plays, I think it plays up to, like, 8 players or something in Ridiculous. And I played it even solo, and that was fun, too. So that's a game that I will suggest to anybody if they like fun games like that.
And we played it 2-player.
We did. So the game that we played, the game that we played after that was kind of our final game of the night for our big gaming group of friends.
Doesn't seem like we played very much.
Yeah.
But true. We also added a bunch of snacks.
Yes, and we...
We also had dinner in there, and we added snacks again.
Yeah. Yeah, right? So we made it like a full convention experience, almost, really.
Yeah, it was 8 hours.
Yeah.
Why did... Yeah, 8 hours of games.
Yeah.
And there was trivia in there, too. So, I suppose games, trivia, prizes.
Yep.
Banter.
Yep.
Eating.
We played...
Eating.
Card Sharks at the end for our big gaming group. So, if anybody who hasn't seen the show of that, you're basically answering trivia questions. It's usually out of 100 people, these people said something. You have a team that decides the number of people that they think it is. And then the other team decides if that percentage is higher or lower. And then depending upon who wins that round, you're actually flipping over cards on this cardboard. And I think it's like 6 cards or 7 cards or something like that. And you always flip over a card. You ask if they want to go higher or lower. And if they get it, they keep going. You can also freeze and go to more questions. Or you can keep going until you get to the end. If you get to the end, you get to go to a final round.
But if you get it wrong... Then it wipes out all of the cards you got right, and you have to do it again.
Start over, yeah.
Once you get a question right. So that stinks. That happened a lot.
It did. It actually made for a long game, but it was fun.
It did. And then whoever reaches the end, the board actually flips over, and you go to the final round. And that is a whole bunch of higher and lower to bets and things like that.
Except for you get a specific amount that you can bet each turn.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I loved that TV show.
Yeah, I did too. Plus, it was fun playing that with you guys. Like, I did the hosting while you guys played 2 teams, which was really fun.
It was really hard.
Mm-hmm, it was.
Yeah, we did Mike and Jason versus Tracy, Sarah, and Krista.
Yeah, because Logan retired for the night because he had a long day and just wanted to...
You know what else we played?
What else?
I'm going to take it back for a minute.
Yeah.
We played News at 11.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And the reason why we forgot about it is because I didn't log it in BG Stats because there isn't really a winner in News at 11 for those of you who have played it.
Actually, there is. We're all winners when we play that game.
I was just... Well, because it's more of like an improv-y role-playing type game. And so I was like, we played more than that. But yeah, we played News at 11, which was like, we could not stop giggling.
Yeah, that game is so much fun.
Sorry, I think we were done talking about Card Sharks.
Right? Yeah, we are, for sure.
Okay, so we're going to go to News at 11 for a second. Yeah. So News at 11, it's by Floodgate Games. And... it is not a game that I would typically go to because you have to come up with stuff on the fly. So there's cards that you kind of have to prep at the very beginning. So it's kind of reminds me of Mad Libs a little bit. So it'll be like two words that you have to put on the card that don't have to do with the topic at the bottom of the card. Meaning like the word at the bottom of the card could be the word ride, but the words on the top of the card could be like something soft and something smelly or whatever. And then you're going to have to incorporate those words with the word ride when you're playing the game. And somebody is the...
lead anchor.
Lead anchor, thank you. I was going to say news. And the rest of you are part of the newscast. And you may be like, you could be at one point the sports anchor or the man on the street or the person who's talking about obituaries or somebody who is doing the weather or health and beauty or food and drink and stuff like that. But the lead anchor has all of these things, and they toss you the category, and you take your card, and you have to go with the flow on what you're going to talk about. Well, you talk about whatever's on that card.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is affiliated with food and drink or not, you're going to have to incorporate it in your news story. So you have, like, just a short couple of sentences that you talk about, and then you pass it back to the news anchor. Or the new...
The lead anchor.
The lead anchor. Mm-hmm. And then they can interrupt at any time. They can interrupt with you doing an interview with somebody. They can interrupt you for a commercial break. Stuff like that.
And that's actually the producer cards. So we actually gave the producer cards to... Jason was our lead anchor.
Oh.
And he actually passed out those producer cards because it's stuff where it when you're a producer, you get to, like, say, like, okay, we'll throw it to this and we'll do that kind of thing. You can actually highlight somebody to be a producer, but because everyone else wanted to be an anchor and do certain things, like, Jason actually took on the responsibility of being not only the lead anchor, but the producer as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you play until, I think you fill out something on 3 cards, each person, or something like that. And so we played through all of that. So that actually took
took a good chunk of time.
Really decent amount of time. But man, there was crying. There was so much laughing. A lot of inappropriateness. And it went a lot better. And everyone was way more receptive to that than I thought.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that I thought they were going to be like, no, we won't play this. Like that. But I didn't know how everyone would be.
No.
But... I mean, it was no judgment. There was lots of laughing.
It was. And that's why I think I liked that game. I remember me and you, we actually found out about that game at Gen Con. And we actually played it there. And the guy that demoed it with us was, like, really good at, like, teaching the game. And we were being really silly. He's being the lead anchor. And he was making us do things. And
yeah,
like,
yeah, I remember that.
And it was awkward, but it was also funny, you know. And we're just like, this is going to be a lot of
fun.
For
a second there, I was thinking of Noisy Person cards. And that was kind of the North. But there's some similarities of that, I suppose.
Oh, for sure. And that any kind of improv-y game, you could just take that and just kind of paste on, like, a certain other, like, theme or something like that. But,
yeah.
It's one of those games that I would love to play more. I'd actually like to play this on the podcast and not be so, like, crazy and inappropriate, even though it probably would go that way anyway. But it'd be just fun to just play that, like, on, like, YouTube or something like that, because it's just so much fun.
Yeah.
And then as the night kind of was coming to a close, everyone left us.
Apparently, the day sucked. No, it didn't.
People were tired and they wanted to go home. They had families to go back to.
There was adult beverages. There was lots of food. Yep. Like we said, there were snacks, dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Pork carnitas, all that kind of stuff. And so everyone was like, ugh, it had been 8 hours.
Yeah, yeah. So people left and me and Tracy decided to do the con thing and just keep going until we couldn't no more. So we actually played a couple of more games. We played Jetpack Joyride, which is based off of the mobile game. If you've ever played that, it's basically you were this person that has this jetpack and you're trying to go through these levels as fast as you can without running into any obstacles like lasers and missiles and stuff like that. Except for this game, you have this modular board where you put it together and you use these Tetris-like pieces to have your person flying through the area without crashing and collecting coins. And getting to the end before the other person. So basically you're playing simultaneously. And whoever the first one to finish says that they're done. And the other people have to stop. And then you kind of see where everything ends up. And you'll get points for that. You play 3 rounds of that. And whoever has the most points at the end of that one wins. I like this version of it, which I didn't think I would. I know you and Logan were really excited about it the last Gen Con we went to. I think it was 2019. And we wanted to play it. We never could play it.
We signed up for the event. And then they The game was stuck on the boat.
Yeah.
Or something.
It never
Yeah. We couldn't play it.
Yeah.
I think we had played... They gave us something else to play, maybe, or something. Or we said, no, never mind, or whatever. But, yeah, we didn't know what it was about. And so we're like, oh, you know... Oh, you know. This will be awesome. And then they're like, we can't play it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of stinky.
It was stinky. I think they gave us like a coupon to buy a game or something like that.
Did they?
Yep.
Pretty sure that's what they did. I was thinking they didn't do any of that.
No, they did. I don't know why I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I remember that for some reason.
Did they give us a coupon?
A coupon, yes.
Oh.
And then the last game of the night we played was Glow. This is a game where this is a game where you are recruiting. What were those things called? You were recruiting.
Companions.
Companions. Thank you. These awesome.
That did not sound very exciting.
These awesome looking companions. And you are trying to get shards of light to light up this dark world, basically, that these characters are from and stuff like that. And that game is, like, we played this a couple of times, and I just really enjoy it. It's
the art is, like...
is amazing.
Top-notch.
Yeah. At one
really,
point...
really, really cool.
At one point, one of our friends was like, I want to try to find the artist on this so I can get a tattoo made of one of these characters.
Well,
or something.
But like that was, like, when we played it the second time.
Yes, correct.
Because, no, remember, everyone ditched us.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's
it was true. Just Kurt and I.
Just you and me.
But we had fun.
Yeah. And you're rolling, like, large dice and small dice, trying to get certain... trying to get certain icons to do like certain powers for the companions and the characters that you get, but you're also using those for movement as well to move along this board. And there's this double-sided board. One of them you're setting up camps, the other one you're sailing boats. It's a game that I think you have to watch a video of or take a look at the art, because it, like, just when I saw it, I was like, this is a game I think I would enjoy. I'm really weird because sometimes if an art style really catches me, I'm like, I don't even care if the game's good. I want to get it just for the art.
Well, but that's like the aha of the box cover, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guilty of that, too.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, that box cover.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever, bought a game based off of something like that and been disappointed. Like, I'll still do research on it.
But then you have box covers that are like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then you get them because of how the game is, and then it's fine.
Yeah.
Like Concordia.
Yes, or Concordia is a big...
Castles.
Yeah, a big example of that. Yeah. And yeah, you just never can judge a book by its cover, really. But sometimes when art is a fantastic, like, Glow, it's hard not to be sucked in by it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a great game. So, yeah, like you said, if you ever get a chance, check it out.
And I think that was from Target, too.
We get that from Target?
I don't know. I'm just making it.
Okay.
I feel like it was.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't
know. Here's the thing. We've had that game for a long time, too.
Yep.
And that is actually on our Alphabet Challenge. So is Jetpack Joyride, because... some of them are to get us to play games we hadn't played for a long time and or to make sure that we still want to keep them. So Jetpack Joyride was to make sure we still wanted to keep it, I think.
Yep.
And Glow was because we hadn't played it, so we didn't even know if we wanted to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an awesome surprise.
Yeah.
So we not only had a good week finding a game that we were like, oh, yeah. Well, a couple games that we were like, oh, yeah. Like Wavelength was good, too, that we hadn't played. And then having the con and playing a couple games from our challenge, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Knocking those out.
Yeah.
So it was a good week.
It made for a great day, yeah. And, yeah, and then subsequent games after that. And it's cool because we talked about making it a thing that we want to do. So, like, we might not do the con. God, what is with the words today? We might not do a con every month, even though someone suggested to do it bi-monthly, I'm like, how can we afford that? I don't know. Or schedule that, for that matter.
Well, maybe it would be just to get together.
Yes. And that's what I think. I think we could do, like, a once a month, like, we get our group together, all those people together, and play games.
Once a month?
Yeah. Or once every couple of months.
Man, we can hardly get together. Yeah.
I think if we try to, we could. Yeah, and that's what we talked. That's what we talked about. We talked about that the winter months, there's not so many people doing stuff outside, so maybe we can do some gaming stuff that way. But it's nice to be able to do that kind of thing. And we talked about doing the con once a year, you know, just making it a tradition. And even I think it was like me and Mike and Jason talked about, and I think Logan was there at that point. We're like, let's make like a con shirt, take a picture with ourselves, and then the next year we take that picture of ourselves and make that into a con shirt, and then the next year make that picture into, you know, just making it kind of something silly.
Except for we would have had to take a picture of everybody.
I know, which we did. Because
we failed on that.
We failed on that. But we can do it next year or something like that. Or we can just make a shirt. Or next month. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah. So that was nice to be able to do that. And hopefully that's something we can do in the future. So, yeah. Absolutely. That's all we have to talk about for this week. Hopefully you enjoyed everything that we're talking about. If you'd like to check out more, check out our YouTube channel. We've got TikTok. We've got stuff coming up on our channel. We're going to be doing some previews of Weird Draft games that are coming out on Kickstarter. We're also doing some reviews of some games coming up as well from them. I'm hoping to get some other things going on here too, because I feel like we've been lax in the maybe interview department and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll get some other new awesome content. You can interview me. Oh, fun. All right, so look out for that. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.